From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette. For the last 25 years, Boise Contemporary Theater has been bringing lively and provocative shows to the Treasure Valley. And to kick off its silver anniversary season, they'll showcase a production that has been years in the making, and it's also quite personal. Our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, wanted to know more about the anniversary and the upcoming show, so he sat down for a very special interview. Let's take a listen.
Here are some headlines. The Taliban seizes an Afghan capital. The U.S. economy is failing. The Yankees are the team to beat in the playoffs. Something called high-def TV is all the rage. No, it's not this year's headlines. It was 1996. Something else happened in 1996. Boise Contemporary Theater was formed and put on a production in the Mode Building in downtown Boise. Indeed, this is the 25th anniversary of BCT, and they begin the celebration of their silver anniversary with the world premiere of Persistent Guest, created and performed by Jodine Revere. And Ben Burdick is also here. He is the producing artistic director at BCT. Jodine, let me ask you first about the title of this piece. I'm always interested in words. And in this case, the word persistent in the title of this piece, because that has all kinds of connotations. It could mean something as simple as ongoing. Persistent could mean steadfast. It could also mean annoying. Talk to me about the use of the word persistent.
It is all of those things, George.
Okay.
Yes, the title of the show actually was prompted by a Rumi poem called The Guest House. Mm-hmm. That talks about how being human is a guest house. Every day there is a new arrival. You need to invite them into your house. Even if they trash everything and smash your furniture, there's something to be gotten from every element of what is presented in your life. And it's kind of up to you as to what you do with that. So that was where this came from, it since I have gone through this three times. So there is a persistent nature to the cancer guest that keeps showing up in my life. So,
and there it is.
There it is.
Cancer.
Yeah.
Well, we want to drill into that for certain, but Ben Burdick, let me ask you, how did this come onto your radar and why did you choose to open this 25th season with Persistent Guest?
Well, like many things, it came onto the radar 3 years ago, almost now. I went to a 7 o'clock series reading at the Ming, where Jodine was reading an excerpt from her memoirs, which she was going to turn into a book, chronicling her experiences with cancer. And we were watching it. And as she was reading from the book, I just kept thinking, this is a one woman show. And I approached Jodine afterwards and I said, Jodine, I think this is, and as soon as I said one, and she was like, it's a one woman show, right? And I was like, yeah. So we were on the same page. That was back in November 2019. In January of 2020, we started actually trying to hone what is a, you know, what is essentially a diary, memoirs, into something more actionable and turn it into a theatrical piece. And we were going to do it as a reading that first year, just to kind of workshop it and give it some time, give it enough breath to really be developed. And of course, 2020 happened, and then 2021. And over the course of that time, you know, we just continued to work on it. Jodine honed it down. I just, you know, started to get back into doing theater again this season, it being the 25th year and this being Boise Contemporary Theater. And we really take pride in the name and believe that this is Boise's theater. And what better way to kick off the silver season than with a longtime resident and artist that's based here in Boise.
Jodine, you play yourself, but you play other people in the community. Can I assume these are real people or?
Yes. I mean, there are moments where there are very subtle sort of voice changes or perspective changes of people, mm-hmm. but by and large, yeah, it's my story. It is true. All these people are real.
Can you talk about the freedom or the extra responsibility of doing a one-person show?
Oh, my God. I've never done anything like this before. I've been an actor for many, many, many years, but I have never done a one-person solo, 90 minutes without a net. No, it's fascinating. And because it's me, it is my story, it is true, but it's also something that happened so long ago, it feels like something that a friend of mine told me about that happened 40 years ago. So there's that element. And then also being on stage, I'm kind of sort of playing a version of myself. That sounds mildly schizophrenic, but it's unusual. Like it's very complicated. It's very complicated, actually, because I am indeed playing myself, telling a true story of something that actually happened to me. And then there is a performative nature and a slightly different character that comes out of that. So it's been a fascinating process, a very challenging process.
Are you able to be critical of that other version of yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Talk to me about that. Because that's, I mean, it might be schizophrenic, but I mean, it requires a whole new level of insight.
Yeah. Part of telling this story is super cathartic for me. I mean, when I originally wrote this, it was as I was going through this in real time, I was writing a blog, of course, and it was a way of sort of for people to be able to know what was happening with me without me having to have a million conversations all of the time. And also just the catharsis of writing, which anyone will tell you in general is huge. And then especially when you're going through something super challenging and really frightening in that concept is also a very important thing. Through that process, that's been very helpful to me. And then also it's been a long time. And the lens of continuing to be able to look back and go, wow, those were some really bad choices that you made. I am so glad that you are in a different place now and don't have those circumstances or those people in your life anymore. And that you've made these changes and that you've moved forward in some sort of way. So wanting to be kind to myself too. I mean, hindsight is always a completely different situation for all of us when we look back and go, oh my God, I can't believe that was the thing that happened. So to be able to see that and also to be able to say, you know, you made the best choices that you could make in that particular circumstance. And then you actually did garner information and grow and change things and changed your attitude about a lot of things and move forward.
I want you both to weigh in on this. And Ben, I'm going to ask you first. More often than not, when we preview something, I ask, oh, what should we know about the show before it opens? I'd like to know what you don't want us to know about the show before it opens. Because there is that element of, oh my goodness, right? The reveals.
Mm-hmm. I think I would not want people to know how funny the show is. And, you know, that it's told with such great humor. And obviously that's the way we're billing it. But I think it will be surprising and jarring to, in a really good way, to be sitting there in the theater expecting a story about a three-time survivor of cancer and sort of the thoughts that just sort of automatically come with that. And then they're going to be incredibly surprised. And I think pleasantly so at the amount of humor and honesty that is in it.
Well put, Ben. Just to not have any preconceived notions at all about it. And like Ben said, I think there is a lot of surprise and a lot of, it is not a sad bastard cancer show at all. And for people to be that, I think the end that what people will walk away with is that it's an extremely joyful story.
Jodine, goodness knows, I'm certain that science and healthcare got you to where you are today. I'm curious about the intangibles. Is it what you left behind? I'm curious about the other things that got you through the Big C.
A big part of this story, it is very much a love letter to Boise and the people here in this town. I have been, the way that people came out of the woodwork and stepped in to feed me, take care of me, create GoFundMe accounts, gift me massages, bring me food, take care of me, drive me. I mean, it was, that was so huge. And that was really beautiful. And I think that it, I don't know, sort of like circles into the Mr. Rogers, you know, look for the helpers thing, that I think that is the one thing that whenever really awful things happen, there are, there's always like this incredible humanity that steps up to how can we help?
So Ben, what are your expectations in the fall of 2022? My sense is that audiences are anxious.
Yeah, just, I mean, for, on the administrative side, just sort of, I really do expect that we'll begin to see folks come back in greater numbers. When we opened last fall, we opened with a very small show, two-person show called I and You, that partially we did that because just trying to mitigate the risk of COVID. And it was really hard to see that, you know, the theater, those beautiful red seats, 40% full or half full. And over the course of the season, it started to grow. And then, of course, we were supposed to do Jodine's show last January. It got postponed because of COVID. Our sweat got postponed because of COVID. And then we were able to do the show on the roof to close it out. And you could see the momentum of people coming back to the theater. And I'm just hoping that that continues, you know, this fall, that people are ready to hear and see and experience, you know, the great, great magic that is live theater. I mean, there's really nothing like it, you know, to experience that simultaneously with 200 other people is something that is really remarkable. And it's why we do it. And it's why we love it. I hope that people remember, are able to recall pre-pandemic, those magical moments. And I think they will. And I expect we get folks streaming through the door.
Jodine, what is it? Anxiety, anticipation, excitement? You're days away. So where are you? Like, how are you feeling?
Very, very excited and very pleased. And it's a strange feeling of like, I have been living, holding, waiting for 3 years to do this. Mm-hmm. So I'm imagining there's going to be an unbelievable giant crash when this is all over. But I'm very excited to share it with people. I'm very proud of it. I am just so completely overwhelmed and blown away by Ben and his support and his constant diligence in shepherding this, and what a giant, difficult beast of a show this is. I mean, he has said, he's like, this is the hardest thing I have ever, ever directed. And he's a gem to work with, and he is funny and even and insightful. And it's just been such a joyous process to do this. And I'm so grateful. It's changed my life that I get to do this. And I hope it has a life beyond. But super excited that we get to share it in the hometown with all the people. And that feels really exciting.
And why is this the hardest thing you ever directed?
Oh, I think, you know, there's a few components to it. But first is that it began as a, you know, as a blog and then a memoir and then turned into a novel. And, you know, watching someone read their diary on stage is not particularly exciting. And so how do we make this into something that feels like a theatrical piece and is actionable and there's movement and there's, and certainly the technical elements help, but, you know, Jodine is just, you know, I think it's a mutual admiration society, but Jodine has just done a remarkable job not being too precious about the words and understanding that, you know, this piece of writing that's really beautiful, that is a really beautiful piece of writing, and Jodine is a beautiful writer, is just not, it's not quite going to translate onto the stage, and we're going to have to let that go. And it's really been, again, almost 3 years of that process. We have read through it. I've read through it. I've heard Jodine say it literally thousands of times at this point. And still we can find, you know, there's still little things that something gets moved or a sentence gets cut or a sentence gets added. And, you know, it's been a long journey of that. And then trying to put all those pieces together to make it look something like a play and less a reading of a memoir has just been a huge challenge.
Jodine, is that a surrender of your life to a piece of art?
I'm not quite sure what you mean by that.
Well, to Ben's point, you know, when he's saying, well, we can't read everything in your diary and this is your life. I mean, that's real. I mean, that is your life. Sure. But indeed, you're on a stage. You're on a stage and sure, we are there with you in a theater, et cetera. And all of a sudden, your life is art. And that will, I'm going to assume, require edits and direction and aesthetics, right? And it's
sure,
right? Can you talk sure about that?
I mean, that's been something really beautiful. I mean, honestly, I think like what an amazing gift to be able to like curate your life.
Curate, there you go.
Which I kind of have sort of always approached the entire way I live my life like that. So yeah, it's been very exciting to be able to have that opportunity. And yeah, and then to craft the story so that it makes, I mean, it's all true, but I mean, just so that there is a storytelling nature to it instead of just a relaying of a whole bunch of information. So that has been really beautiful to take the giant totality of a particular sort of circumstance and then craft it into a story that has an ebb and flow and all of the things. So it's been lovely.
And if I could add to that, George, I think that, you know, one of the things that we were really conscious about the whole time is the integrity of the story. We were never going to touch that. So there's nothing that's really, you know, that's been changed or co-opted to make it a better play. Everything, the integrity of the story is there 100%. And because of Jodine's raw honesty and humor throughout it, it just works as a play. Certainly pieces have been cut or added, but the integrity of the story is central to it. And we were very careful not to touch that.
Jodine, I keep thinking of how we relate to this play, and more than a few of us certainly can relate to cancer.
Oh God, yeah.
Do you ever get tired, or did you ever get tired of being defined by that and people asking, how you doing? How you feeling? You know, oh, you know, are you through this, et cetera? And all of a sudden, that's how they see you. That's sure how that, right?
Sure. Yes, absolutely. And I, that was always a strange part. I don't relate to, I mean, total respect for people that supports them, but I just do not relate to the cancer culture, the pink and the ribbons and the walk for the cure. And I don't like the language survivor and fighter. Don't like that. I always sort of am nervous to like be around a bunch of people. Like I'm afraid I'll catch something if I'm around too many of them. So that doesn't really, that doesn't resonate with me at all. And I think that is really kind of the primary standout of this story is that, yeah, I went through this crazy thing a bunch of times and it certainly has helped. It has shifted the way in which I move forward with my life, but I don't feel like I identify with that as being a cancer, whatever you want to call it. That does not feel pertinent to me or who I am, if that makes sense.
It does. Ben, I'm going to assume that Kleenex is not sold at the concession.
BYO.
Okay. And I guess that's what I'm asking is, I'm assuming there are happy tears because and joyful tears, and you're telling us about some humor that would be unexpected. Should I bring a handkerchief? It sounds like I'm definitely going to pack one.
Well, here's the thing. I think people are at different levels. Bring a small mini pack of Kleenex.
Yeah.
Bring a handkerchief for some people. If you're like me, George, and everyone who knows me well knows that I have a tendency to wear my emotions on my sleeve. I'm bringing a towel and a wetsuit. Even though I've seen it thousands of times, yeah, there's still moments that just, really are again, like happy tears or that just resonate and touch. I think touch people so deeply in this story. It's universal. Unfortunately for a lot of people, not just cancer, but then I think the story itself is universal, that the needs of people and the humanity that's in it. I think that everyone will have something that they can relate to in the piece. And as such, I think that will require some Kleenex.
I'm Gemma Gaudette, and this is Idaho Matters.